Well, good morning, everybody. So glad y'all came out. And anybody, if y'all want to grab anything, Jenny and Ariana, y'all are welcome to. I just wanted to start out by saying, you know, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you, you know, giving towards putting into yourself. And I'm expecting lots of growth to come from this day. And we're all going to hear from God. But I was just thinking about this morning, what does transform mean to me? And I can remember back when I first came in to children's ministry, I was scared. I didn't think I could do anything. Especially if I stood up in front of people like this, I'd be shaking and I didn't know what to say. So I've really overcome a lot of inferiority and a lot of fear, a lot of worry. Just thinking I wasn't good enough or I didn't have anything to offer. So I've experienced transformation in my own life, and I love to see that in other people. And that's why I love children's ministry. I love seeing that in kids especially. And I love that when we bring on new helpers and new teachers, and I get to help you find out what your gifts and talents are and bring that out in you. So I love to see that transformation. I get to equip you and empower you and like, yeah, you can do this. And I've been there. I did it, and you can do it. And being able to help people find their place, I think that's really awesome. But also in children, I love to see it when they come in one way. And you know that all children, if they're born into this world, they come in one way. And that's not, you know, not usually godly character. So we get to put that in them every Sunday, every Wednesday, every chance we get to pour all of God's life into them and see transformation come. And it's really awesome. And then we see them grow up and serve God. And I shared this with Kristen. It really meant a lot to me. We were over at Fabiola's house bringing in the new year, Lapine style. And we all kind of shared about what was one thing in 2012, you know, that, you know, really was awesome that happened to us. And what do we want one thing to happen in 2013? And Ileana, I think she was the last person to share. And I just, you know, it touched me really deep and reminded me why I do children's ministry. And she was sharing the one thing that she did in 2012 that really, you know, meant the world to her. It wasn't something selfish. It wasn't like I got this cool new gadget, you know, I got a new iPod or whatever. It was that she got to share the gospel and she got to pray with people. And I don't remember exactly the whole testimony, but it was just so awesome. And that kids can do this stuff, you know, and they can change lives. So, you know, I love that. And today I want us to ask God to mold us and make us into what he'd have us to be. We have some Play-Doh. Here's a can. If you noticed on your way in, we have some Play-Doh. And Play-Doh, if you've ever played with it, which you'll have an opportunity to play with it during our lunchtime, you know, it's moldable. You can shape it into anything you want to. But we have to be willing to be moldable. And we have to be surrendering our life to him and say, you know, use me, make me, mold me into whatever you'd have me to be or to do. And I think that's the big thing, is our hearts have to be open and willing. And so I challenge you today to be open to God, open to hear his voice. We know his voice. And just expect to be transformed today in whatever area you need, your personal life, your work life, your home life. You know, here at the church, and we're especially expecting change and transformation here in the children's ministry. So, and we want everybody, want you to grab one on your way home, and so you can be reminded to be moldable. All right? Thank you so much, Terry. I just wanted to introduce Pastor Tommy to you. This is Pastor Tommy. I remember him very fondly. When I was 11 years old, I came to Grace Christian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and he was the children's minister there. And we knew him as Captain Tom.
That's what we know. He wore his captain hat every Sunday and welcomed us with his smiley face at the door when we came into children's ministry. And we, it was Sunshine Bay then. And we had a whole tropical theme, so that's probably part of why we have tropical theme, is because of him and his influence. And just recently, we started doing the curriculum that we did when I was a kid, which is so crazy because I remember a lot of the lessons after going through them. They stick with you. And I just wanted to remind you that you're just a part of molding the lives of little children. Pastor Tommy, he was Captain Tom, then he was a part of molding my life. And there was many other people that helped with that, but also youth pastors and all that stuff. Every person that comes in contact with these kids, you have a chance to help to transform their life with God's power. Of course, you can't do it on your own. But with God's power, you can help mold and make them who they are. And I believe I am who I am today for the many people like Captain Tom that poured into me and invested into me. And you're going to be that same for the children that we have at Good News Church, the children that come in here. Their lives are already changed because of the gospel, but you'll continue to help mold their character and who they are. And I just want to say that I'm really excited that Pastor Tommy is here. He drove a long, 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 long way. He's from Roanoke, Virginia, and he has a church out there called Grace Family Church, right? Grace Family Church. And he has three beautiful children. I haven't had the opportunity to meet them, but I hope to one day. And I'm just super excited that he's here. And I just want y'all to welcome him and give him a big round of applause as he comes up and ministers to us. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me here. And I you almost brought me to tears. I'm a very emotional person. So I may cry on you today. I don't know. Like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, I guess. It is an honor to be here, and I really do consider it an honor. First of all, that Pastor Matt and Susie, having really never met me, allowing me the privilege to stand and teach really what I consider the cream of the crop of their church. And the reason I say that is because you're doing the work. A lot of times we may look at people that are standing on the front row and raise their hands and seem to be super spiritual. But to me, I consider the folks sitting in front of me cream of the crop. So it's an absolute honor to be able to share with you. And as Kristen said, it's especially neat to me to be doing it here because of Kristen and then get to meet Nate. But, it's sort of ironic that I'm being able to share about children's ministry with someone who came through my children's ministry and is now a children's minister. So I guess there's no greater point of validation in what you do than that. You know, this stuff works. And so, there's a lot of different workshops out there and things that, you know, you can go through. But I'm just going to do my best to convey my heart to you. I told, I've been to a lot of children's workshops and they have different breakouts and they tell you how to do all these different things. And we'll get into some of that. I think to be effective in children's ministry, the first thing you've got to establish is your heart's got to be right about it. And so what we'll do today is I've got about seven different sessions we're going to teach. I'm going to try to keep those to about 30 minutes each and give us about a 10-15 minute break in between each one so that I can look at the notes for the next session because trying to prepare for seven all at once is a little daunting. And I've done these before, but I also give us some time just to digest what we're taking in. But once again, just thanks. And I appreciate you coming out and having the willingness to listen. And let's just trust God together. I've always said this, that, you know, by ourselves, we really can't accomplish much, but with God, there's a whole lot we can accomplish, and so we both need to put our confidence and trust in Him to help us And so what I want to talk to you about in this first session is we've titled it Let the Children Come. I really want to talk about the importance of children's ministry. And so if you've got your Bibles and want to follow along with me, and I go pretty quick, so I apologize. Thank God you've got the PowerPoint, because we do that at our church, and I don't even wait for people to get to the next verse. I just roll them out. So we'll see how good Nate is at keeping up with me. But Matthew chapter 9, verses 13 through 15, we'll read. And then let's just pray and believe God together for this session. And you'll find I pray a lot. I'll probably pray before every session. But let's just pray and believe God together for Him to speak life to our hearts. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13 says, Then were there brought unto Him little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto Me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And He laid His hands on them and departed thence. Let's pray real quick. Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for the truth that is in Your word. And thank You for these wonderful folks who've taken time out of their Saturday, which is typically a day where we get to do fun things and enjoy life. And I thank You for them taking the time out of that precious time of theirs to invest in something that's so dear to Your heart. And so I ask You to use me. I recognize the awesome opportunity that You've placed before us. And just don't let me get in the way, but allow Your Spirit to minister through me. And I thank You that we'll all have been better, that this children's ministry will take steps forward, that each person here will be blessed, and that if necessary, You'll even speak to their hearts about personal things they may be dealing with. I give You praise and thanks for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice Jesus, in this verse we read, Jesus saw the importance of children's ministry when other people really didn't. You know, He said these words. He said, suffer the little children and forbid them not. And, you know, when you think about that word suffer, you know, the way it reads in the King James, it almost seemed like, you know, you're enduring, you know, just endure the little children, you know, suffer them, you know. But that word suffer doesn't mean just to indulge kids or just to, not get in their way. It means something so much more than that. If you look at it, actually the word suffer means to allow them to come or to permit them to come. And so Jesus said to permit the kids to come and do not forbid them. Now, it's something interesting when you look at those two words combined, when you see that He says forbid them not and He says suffer them to come. It almost conveys the essence of the fact that the children are already coming, that they're already being drawn to the Lord. Now, certainly in this particular story, the disciples were bringing them. The disciples were bringing them to Jesus to be able to pray for them and bless them. But nowhere in this account do we have the image of a child being brought kicking and screaming to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've got three kids, and I have my youngest one. Her name is McKinley, she does not, well, no kid does, but she does not like getting shots when she goes to the doctor. And one of her earliest memories as of going to the doctor, because, you know, at an early age, they have all these routine shots. And so at an early age, her first memory of the doctor is shots. And so when we tell her, you know, we're taking you to the doctor for your regular checkup, she runs and hides. She'll get in the closet and hide and try to hide from us. Now, the reason she does that is because she doesn't want to come. But we don't have that image of these children being brought to Jesus that way, you know, kicking and screaming, you know, I don't want to come. What we have is these kids being brought and they're willing to come. And I think there's a timeless truth there when you think about kids that I want to really touch on before we get into how to minister to children. And it's this timeless truth that children are born alive unto God. They have a heart that's sensitive to God and is drawn to the things of God. And it's important for us to recognize that this natural tendency, even though they live in a world where there's so much wrong, there's so much sin, there's so much injustice, there's a unique thing about a child, and it's that their heart is alive. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And so the Bible tells us that all of us, including children, were born under this world that Adam gave us of sin. Now certainly Jesus came and redeemed us from that, but even children are born under that this world of sin where there injustice that takes place. And, you know, when we have children's ministries, we don't know from what background kids come to us a lot of times. And they may come to us having been affected by that sin. But children at a young age, Paul went on to tell us that even though they were born into sin, their heart is alive unto God. Romans chapter 7 and verse 9 says, Paul said, before I knew the law, and this is a contemporary English version, he said, before I knew the law, I was alive. He said, before I came to the knowledge of me being a sinful person, as a child, I was alive. But as soon as I heard that command, sin came to life and I died. And so we see at an early stage in a child's life, their heart is alive to God. It's open to God. It is drawn to God. Now, why would I share that at the beginning of a workshop like this? The reason I would share it is because I think it reveals to us the unbelievable opportunity we have with children that we have with no other people group on the planet. You know, these are kids that are born, and it's interesting to watch because, you know, as a child grows older, they cross a threshold where their heart could become hardened to God. But at a young age, especially in the young and elementary ages, it's interesting to see that a kid is just open to believe, open to be hungry for God. And so we've got this unbelievable opportunity as children's workers and children's ministers to affect lives like we could with no other people group. You know, I think the Catholics said that if you can give me a child for the first 12 years of their life, they'll be a Catholic for the rest of their life. Why is that? Because they're moldable. They're formal. And so we have the opportunity to form and shape within children principles that will affect their life for the rest of their life. You know, if you think about it, if we suffer the children to come, the thing to think about is, I mean, what kind of impact can we have upon them? And I want you to think about that for a minute. What kind of pain can we help them avoid later in life if we plant seeds in these little hearts that are alive unto God now? You know, I pastor a church now of adults, a bunch of hardheads. And I got to tell you, it's completely different dynamic ministering to adults than it is ministering to children. You can tell a kid something, they'll be like, okay, great, and they'll just go do it. Yeah. I mean, adults, you got to like say it and say it and say it and smack them on the back of the head and kick them in the butt and do whatever you can do to get them to receive it. But what kind of impact can we have if we actually impart truth into kids, principles, commands, ways to live into kids? What kind of pain can we keep them from? Because first and foremost, before we ever talk about what I'm going to get to in this session, is we've got to understand that God loves every one of us. I mean, He loves you so much. He loves the kids that would go through our children's ministry so much. And He doesn't want us to have pain and hurt and anguish in this life. And so we can help them avoid that. Regardless of the lifestyle or the homes that they come up in, we can help them avoid future mistakes as adults by planting the word in their heart. But, you know, not only that, let's think about the kind of impact we can have on the type of believer they'll become. You know, I sit here and I say this with all humility because when I was doing children's ministry in Greenville, I had no idea the impact I was having upon kids. I was just trying to be obedient. You know, and I always say this, that sometimes I'm just too dumb to mess things up. You know, sometimes you just plod along and do what's in front of you. And I look at, the number of kids that came through that children's ministry that are in ministry today. I mean, it's an unbelievable ratio, to look at it, that they're in ministry or some capacity of serving God. And not just ministry, but they're influencers and they're still living for God. And I never realized not only was I helping them avoid pain, I don't think I ever really realized at the time that what was being accomplished was something far greater than that. God was establishing future leaders in the body of Christ. And I got to tell you, what I've seen is that those kids that have come through a background, you know, because a lot of people think, well, you know, great testimonies. You ever heard preachers come in and have great testimonies? You know, I did this and I did that and I've done, you know, and we think those are the guys that God can really use. But what I've really found is that the people that have established a foundation as a child in their life are really the most sound, stable believers that God can use. And so we have an unbelievable responsibility as children's ministers. And when Jesus said, you know, suffer the children to come, He was really issuing an ultimatum to each one of us sitting here and really to every person that would follow Him. And that ultimatum was this, that it's the responsibility of every disciple of the Lord to not impede the path of children from coming to Him. You know, He said, suffer the children, hinder them not. So what that tells me is that children can be hindered by adults in coming to God. Children can be hindered and receiving the things of God, and certainly by there are evil people out there that can hurt kids and do things of that nature. But what I've found is a lot of times, we come to, as adults, we come into every role we play with baggage. God, absolutely, you know, we're redeemed and we're overcomers and we're new creations, but we all come with the history that we bring with us. And that creates inhibitions in us. It creates insecurities in us. It creates all these different things that can hinder us that will in turn hinder children. And so one of the things that, we're going to talk about in this series of sessions is how do we remove the impediments that stand in the way in us to allow children to come to God. So we will talk about that. But I want to talk about just in this session one underlying reason why we can impede or how we can impede children from coming to God. And it boils down really to a motive of the heart. It boils down to something in our heart. One reason we can impede or hinder the growth of children and the progress of children and their heart toward God and it not growing closer to God is just not esteeming children. And I want to talk about that for a little bit. You know, we can limit the excellence and quality in what we do based on what we esteem. And that doesn't just go to children's ministry. That goes to everything. If you don't esteem something, you won't do it with quality and you won't do it with excellence. I think about the breakfast meal. And I love a good breakfast meal. You know, growing up in southwestern Virginia, biscuits and gravy, and down here in the South, we know all about that, right? You know, a lot of good fried bacon and sliced tomatoes. Oh, I love sliced tomatoes. Y'all getting hungry yet? but I love breakfast. And so, but on some mornings, I'm so busy, I don't esteem the breakfast meal. And because I don't esteem it, I just slap a piece of, a little bit of peanut butter on a piece of toast and eat it while I'm running out the door. And that's certainly not a good Southern breakfast. And the reason is because that morning I esteemed something else more than I esteemed, the breakfast meal. Well, the same thing holds true for children's ministry. If we don't esteem it, then we won't put, quality into it. We won't put excellence into it. And so we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of that throughout the course of the day. But, you know, one of the things is to be able to esteem something, you have to see the value in it. You have to see the value of what you're accomplishing. And, you know, the disciples, when they came to Jesus in that story, you know, people were bringing them. They said, no, you stay away. Now, why would they say that? I mean, they were part of Jesus' ministry team. They were going to win the world, right? And so what winds up happening as adults is we begin to think that the most important things in life are the adult things we do. We've got our plans, we've got our pursuits, and you know, even in our personal life, we can look at this. I stay really, really busy. I pastor a little bit about me. I am from Roanoke, Virginia. I pastor a church of about 250 folks. I am the regional director for RMAI, which covers about four states and about 100 and so ministers. And I also work a full-time secular job. And also I have Thomas Vigert Ministries where I publish children's curriculum and go around and do workshops. So I stay pretty busy. Now why do you work a full-time job? That's a whole other story I can tell you on the break, but, it's necessary and it's something, you know, the Lord's led me to do is that we've built the church and that day's coming soon that it'll change. But I stay very busy, but I have children. And so I can, and especially in the day in which we live, we can be so savvy about how to get things done. You know, we got text, we got email, we've got our phones, our smartphones, we've got all these different things and, you know, all these apps now on the iPhone where you can do the same thing you do in the office. And so you can stay really busy. And so I have to be careful because, man, what I do is important. I mean that facetiously, right? I mean, my things are so important. And then I've got my little 6-year-old that comes up to me and taps me on the leg and says, Daddy, 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 Daddy. And she won't stop. She hasn't learned the art of being polite yet. It's just, you know, I got to get some for Dad. So, and I'm texting or doing something, and I have to remind myself that this is not the most important thing. That is. Why is that the most important thing? We're going to talk about that because the disciples didn't see the importance of children. They saw the importance of reaching the adults. And that's important too. I never want to say one thing's more important than the other, but I'll tell you, we're going to see in Scripture that Jesus esteemed children more important than a lot of the stuff he did. A lot of the pursuits he had, a lot of the ministry that took place, he esteemed it as very important. You know, I think about the disciples and I thought about how they said, no, just do this. And I've seen lots of children's ministries. It was so encouraging to me because as I looked around, I saw the effort that's been put into the children's rooms and everything. A lot of what I'll share today is reinforcement to what you're already doing. But I've seen lots of children's ministries where it was really a babysitting service. It was all about getting the kids out of the way of the adults so the adults can get their praise on. So they can hear the word and they can do their thing. You know, I had the privilege of going to Zambia and doing a children's workers conference like this in front of about 600 delegates from churches, from children's workers from all over Central Africa. And that was the mentality of most of them there. And thank God, God drew them out and God's doing a dynamic work through a lot of those that came now and things are changing. They're building children's buildings specifically just for children's ministry and some of those ministries over there. But beforehand, it was really all about getting the adults into a sanctuary and ministering to them and just sort of pushing the kids off somewhere to be babysat, maybe read a Bible story to them just to, you know, make it seem like we're doing something godly. And then just, you know, play a bunch of games with them that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God, just to keep them busy. And I think the disciples probably had that attitude. No, we got places to go. We got people to see. We got things to do. Don't bug us with the kids. Go babysit those guys. You know, we don't want to mess with that. And the reality is that Jesus said, no, wait a minute. You're missing the boat, guys. This is one of the most important things. And so today I want to talk about, you know, why do we esteem children as valuable? Well, I think we esteem them most importantly as valuable because God does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 21 in the New International Version, Paul said this about the body of Christ. And I think you'll see an interesting twist on this. As I was preparing years ago this workshop, this just came out to me and I saw this scripture in a new light. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, everybody say seem to be weaker. Well, I don't know about you, but children compared to adults, not just physically, but they're developing mentally, children seem to be, to me, the weaker. They seem to be weaker when we think about the body of Christ, the weaker part. He says they seem to be weaker. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Now, that's interesting. He uses the word indispensable. That word indispensable means you can't live without it. I mean, it's like air to your lungs. It's like blood to your veins. He says the weaker parts of the body are indispensable. Can't do without them. It says, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable and untreated with special, we treat with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body, and notice this part, and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. This is really interesting because what he says there is he says that he gives greater honor to the weaker parts. Now that tells me why Jesus stopped the disciples and said, no, you bring these kids to me and don't stop them from coming. Because God looks at the weaker parts, and I don't mean weaker in the sense that they're insufficient, but it's just where they are in their stage of development. Children are absolutely the most precious, most valuable commodity in the body of Christ. And the Bible tells us here that, you know, we think about the weaker and we think about, well, you know, the ones that are hurting and the other. We always read the scripture, I think, from the light of just thinking about adults. But what this verse is, to me, really brings out is that God esteems children as some of the most honorable parts. What does it mean to honor? It means to esteem it. It means to hold it up, to place it on a pedestal. It means that is the part of the body of Christ that we should be focusing on, the part that we should be esteeming. Why are children considered indispensable? I mean, think about that for a minute. You know, air to your lungs. I mean, your lungs are important because if you don't breathe, your body is done for, right? You know, your heart stops beating and that's it. It's on to heaven and better things, right? But so for your body to function, there are indispensable parts that won't function right without it. And for children, they're an indispensable part. What is it that a child can contribute to the body? That's really important to think about, because we're going to find out in some future lessons that they can contribute right now. And I'm going to stress that in some future, you know, sessions here. But what I want to stress right now is really they're indispensable because of the potential that they have. If we think about a child, certainly when they come to us, and for the children in the room, please don't think that I'm disparaging you. But they certainly come less mature than they are when they're adults. Now, I don't know, I've seen some adults that have digressed in there. They're not as mature as some children. You might be married to one. I don't know. We'll pray for you. But the fact of the matter is that normally a child will progress from immaturity to maturity. And so certainly a child is immature. And a lot of times that's what sort of makes children's ministry to me so much fun. You know, just a little side note, you know, the type of things you hear children say and watch them do and the goofy things that, you know, happen, it's just amazing to watch, you know. And so it makes it a lot of fun. But a child comes to us in children's ministry as an immature seed. And I think if we look at the value of that precious seed that comes to us, it helps us reestablish in our hearts the importance of children's ministry. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31, Jesus put forth a parable about the least of all seeds. It says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and which indeed is the least of all seeds." The least of all seeds. So this parable is talking about the least of all seeds. Jesus talked, we read over in 1 Corinthians, Paul talked about the weaker parts. I think we can apply this least of all seeds to the seed of a child's heart that comes to us. It says, "But when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." And so we receive this immature seed, but notice what happens with this seed when it grows up. What does it become? It becomes Christian Barbers. It becomes Pastor Matt's. It becomes pillars in a community that maybe they're not in ministry, but they, because of the principles they've been taught about the kingdom of God, they rise to a position of influence that glorifies God, maybe brings finances in that finances the kingdom of God. But what is that immature seed? It grows into this greatest of all trees that under which many people can find the God that we serve. See, why is a child a valuable, precious seed? Because of the potential that is there. Within the heart of every child lies the seeds of greatness. There's not a single child that your ministry will touch that doesn't have greatness within them. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, God spoke to Jeremiah and he said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." Before he was ever formed, God placed greatness in Jeremiah. And we have to recognize that inside of every one of these precious kids, every one of these snotty-nosed, bratty kids that won't listen to us, that we struggle to try to keep attention with, is greatness. And we have to be able to look beyond all that and see that this is a precious seed that God has given us. God deems it so precious and valuable that we need to nurture it and esteem it and bring it along to maturity. Because when we do this, what we do is we ensure the legacy of the body of Christ. And that's really important to think about. You know, I'll make this statement up front. What this church will be 10 years from now and 15 years from now will be the result of what takes place in the lives of these children here. That's very important to recognize. The legacy of any church is the children that it's ministering to. I've been in churches where I've seen everybody there is old. There are no children there. Why? Because children haven't been esteemed. What will happen with that church is that everybody old will eventually die off. I have a guy in my church that has aspirations to be a pastor one day. And so at times people will call him and ask him to come and minister. And sometimes they'll come and even evaluate whether you know, he's the next pastor for their church. And he went to a small church in West Virginia. Huge building, huge building. He said they had probably 15 different classrooms, a sanctuary that would seat 500 people right in the center of this small West Virginia town. And it was the thriving church there. And he came up to preach, but they had 15 people in the service. No children's classes, and every one of them were over 65 years old. What happened to that church? It was once a thriving pillar in the community. What happened to it? You know, maybe there was scandal, maybe something happened, but if you look at the people that are left, to me, something, the precious seed of that church, the children in that church were not nurtured and brought along to be the future leaders of that church. So it's important for us to recognize God wants us to minister to children because it is the legacy of the body of Christ. Psalm 78 verse 5 says, He decreed statutes for Jacob. 78 verse 5. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach to their children. Notice He said He commanded them to teach it to their children. Why did He put statutes in Jacob's heart and laws within Israel? What was the intent of it? Well, certainly to minister to them, because we never want to minimize the fact that God loves us individually. But the truth of the matter is He did it so that we could convey it to others. He established it so it could be taught to children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their truth in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. I don't know if when I was growing up, just popped into my head, there was a commercial about Prel shampoo. I don't know if you remember this commercial. I'm 46 years old, and I don't know if you remember this commercial, but I remember this picture of a girl. It was like the Brady. You've seen the Brady Bunch. Have you kids? How many of you kids know what the Brady Bunch is? Oh, you're missing half your life. Oh man, y'all just have one children's service where you just show them the Brady Bunch. But it had on the screen this one little corner of the screen where this girl says, you know, Prel's great for my hair. And she says, and you know, somewhere in the phrase, it says, and this one will tell another one. And it started replicating all the same picture of her. And they'll tell another one and they'll tell another one. That's the intent of children's ministry. It's for us to convey what God has shown us and put it into children's hearts so that they'll grow up and do the same thing. That's what God's called us to do. A failure to do so will result in a generation that doesn't know the Lord. And I got to tell you, we look at the culture that we have today, and you know, we try to think of ways, you know, you look at so many different things. You know, you look at all the tragedy that happened in Connecticut recently and all the debate over gun laws and all these things, and we're trying to reach the adults and change the adults. But I got to tell you, you really want to change a nation? Get serious about getting God into the hearts of the children. That old generation will die off eventually. Amen. See, Judges chapter 2 and verse 8 says, there, and we won't read this, but it says there arose a generation in Joshua's time that didn't know the Lord. Why did they not know the Lord? Why did that generation, I can tell you why they didn't know the Lord. It wasn't conveyed to them the truths that were in their own heart. So many times we don't recognize that the reason God's word is a seed is planted in our heart is so that we can take it and plant it in someone else's heart. The value of the seed of the Word of God is that it's replicatable, it's repeatable, it's eternal, and we can take that and place it in others' hearts. And so, you know, I wanted to sort of set the tone for these workshops by us recognizing that the time that you're investing today, I mean, you could be doing so many other things. I could be. I mean, right now my son's finishing up his recreation league basketball game. And so I could have been there cheering him on and watching him. You know, he's a great football player. I mean, he's one of the, you know, he's always on the all-star teams, but he's a horrible basketball player. Don't tell him I said that. He just hasn't figured out the game yet. So it's fun to go watch him because, you know, everybody else, they'll dribble down. He's 10 years old and they'll make their shot and they'll just run back like nobody's business. But when he makes a shot, it's like, man, he won the lottery. I mean, he's like, wow, he's looking in the stands, running around all excited. It's the funniest thing. So I could be watching that today. Try to tell him, I said, son, look, when you make it, just act like it's no big deal, you know. Who cares? It's fun to watch. But anyway, but where was I going with that? I don't even have any idea where I was going. Oh, you could be in many different places. You could be enjoying those times. I mean, you kids could be doing something fun, but you've made the choice to do this. Why? I believe because you recognize the significance of children's ministry, but I just want to further validate it with the thoughts we've shared so far. Is that this is not time wasted. This is absolutely an opportunity for us to establish a legacy for this ministry. I'm so grateful that Pastor Matt and Susie would allow me to come to be able to have that kind of impact, hopefully, on this ministry. You know, we'll close this session with James chapter 5 and verse 7 through 8. It says, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, But it says, and meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the Master's arrival. How many of you are looking forward to Jesus returning? You know, it's funny, I talked to my son about that, and he's like, but Dad, there's so much more I want to do before he comes back. I said, you realize you'll be able to do all that? And the stuff that you want to do that ain't going to matter, you're not going to want to do it when you get there anyway? He says, yeah, but what about, you know, I'd love to, try to parachute one day. Well, fine, but I said, you realize when you get to heaven, you won't need the parachute. Jesus just ascended, right? It says, meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the Master's arrival. You see farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crops to mature. Waiting for their valuable crops to mature. In the King James Bible, it says they're waiting for the precious seed of the earth. They're waiting for the precious seed of the earth, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. Be patient like that. Stay steady and strong. We're encouraged as children's workers to be godly farmers of precious children's seed. I remember I was flying to Zambia for the first time I did a conference like this or a workshop like this. And I remember that phrase just rolled out of my heart. Precious children's seed. God has called us to nurture and mature the precious seed of a child's heart. And so I believe as we share along these lines, you're going to be able to go forth into the fields of the kingdom of God and nurture precious children's seed and bring them to a place where they'll create a legacy for the body of Christ, a future legacy where other children will be reached through them. Amen? Amen. Amen.